Australians have come together to say I do to marriage equality and to say I do to fairness and equality for everyone.
I first came out when I was 16 years old. I'm 62 now. This is a momentous day.
And now it is up to us here in the Parliament of Australia to get on with it.
Today we celebrate. Tomorrow we legislate.
Welcome to This Way Out, the international LGBT radio magazine. I'm Lucia Chappelle. Mozambique's top court orders government to recognize queer rights group, military doctors trump presidential trans ban, and Australians say I do to marriage equality. Those stories and more this week because you've chosen This Way Out.
I'm Michael Lebeau.
And I'm Monique Lukens.
With News Wrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting LGBTQ communities around the world for the week ending November 18th, 2017.
I never believed the day would come when my relationship would be judged by my country to be as meaningful and valued as any other.
That's openly gay Australian Senator Dean Smith, with some emotional comments on November 16th as he introduced a marriage equality bill in Parliament. It came one day after more than 60% of the country's voters said yes to opening civil marriage to same-gender couples. Even though the postal plebiscite was non-binding, Prime Minister Malcolm Turnbull said he'd keep his promise if the Yes campaign was successful and push for passage of a marriage equality bill before the end of the year. The PM has consistently refused to allow his party's MPs to vote their consciences on the issue in the past. He's allowing a free vote now, which should all but guarantee passage. Smith's bill would amend Australia's Marriage Act to include lesbian and gay couples, along with guarantees that people who oppose marriage equality based on their religious beliefs would not be forced to officiate at such weddings. While the measure has cross-party support, some recalcitrant right-wing MPs are still voicing concerns about the religious freedoms of private businesses and government workers who oppose marriage equality. They will reportedly attempt to at least delay the inevitable by introducing dozens of amendments.
More than 12.7 million people, an astonishing 79.5% of eligible voters, took part in the non-compulsory poll. The official final tally was 61.6% saying I do and 38.4% voting no. Ugly homophobia mushroomed online and in public places during the arduous and expensive campaign, just as queer activists had warned. As the publication New Matilda lamented, there goes $122 million and 3 months of our lives, but at least it's done. Gay journalist Rex Walkner notes that voters have approved a marriage equality proposal just four other times, in the U.S. states of Maine, Maryland, and Washington in 2012, and in Ireland in 2015. We'll have much more on Australian marriage equality, including on-scene coverage of celebrations across the country and comments by some of the key players in the campaign later in the program on most of these same This Way Out stations.
In other news, Mozambique's Constitutional Council, the highest authority in matters of constitutional law in the country, has ordered the government to register its only LGBT rights group, Lambda. Article 52 of the Mozambican Constitution states that associations are banned only if they are military or paramilitary in nature, or if they promote violence, racism, or xenophobia, or pursue aims contrary to the law. The judges said that the government could not logically argue that Lambda falls into any of those categories. Even though private consensual adult same-gender sex was decriminalized in June 2016, the government has continued to refuse critical legal recognition to Lambda, citing a rule that requires recognition to only benefit the moral, social, and economic order of the country and not offend the rights of third parties or the public good. The council ruled that regulation to be outdated and discriminatory. A spokesman for Lambda, which was founded in 2006 and is based in the capital city of Maputo, told the Mozambique news agency that the Constitutional Council ruling represented a great victory for the LGBT community. He said he looked forward to the Ministry of Justice granting his group the now required legal recognition it has sought for more than 10 years.
The U.S. Defense Department made its own news this week. Pentagon spokeswoman Dana White confirmed that an active-duty infantry service member received male-to-female gender reassignment surgery on November 14th in a private hospital, and that it was paid for by the military's health coverage because the soldier's doctor deemed it to be medically necessary. Army Major Dave Eastburn explained that while specific waivers are required, private hospitals are routinely approved to perform medical procedures for which military doctors don't have the surgical expertise. No other details were released about the service member due to privacy concerns. Because the Obama administration lifted the ban on service by qualified transgender enlistees just last year, gender reassignment surgeries in the armed forces have been rare. And because President Trump is pushing for a total ban on military service by transgender people, and that could include the forced discharges of currently and honorably serving transgender troops, this week's Pentagon announcement raised a few eyebrows. Defense Secretary James Mattis has been tasked with making Trump's edict a reality and ordered yet another study of the issue to be concluded in March of 2018. Several lawsuits have been filed challenging Trump's proposed ban on service by transgender people. A federal judge has already agreed with plaintiffs in one case that they're likely to win on constitutional grounds.
Human Rights Watch released an alarming report this week documenting widespread use of electroshock and other so-called treatments in China to make gay people straight. In announcing the publication of the 52-page report, the group's LGBT director, Graham Reed, said that it's been more than 20 years since China decriminalized homosexuality, but LGBT people are still subjected to forced confinement, medication, and even electric shocks to try to change their sexual orientation. The report includes interviews with 17 people who said their parents had threatened, coerced, and sometimes physically forced their adult and adolescent children to submit to so-called reparative or conversion therapy, a practice that included being forced to take nausea-inducing medications while being shown gay pornography. Cure facilities are found in public hospitals across China, which are government-run and monitored, and in private clinics, which are licensed and supervised by the country's National Health and Family Planning Commission. Virtually every reputable medical organization, at least in the Western world, has called conversion therapy useless at best, and more often than not, harmful to the emotional well-being of the patient.
China decriminalized homosexuality in 1997, and the Chinese Psychiatric Society officially removed it as a mental disorder in 2001. And while the Chinese Psychological Society has issued professional codes of conduct that prohibit discrimination based on sexual orientation during counseling, no professional mental health association in China has criticized conversion therapy. Two victims have successfully sued clinics that perform that practice on them against their will in separate lawsuits in recent years. But because Chinese law does not protect LGBTQ people from discrimination, critics say it makes it hard to clamp down on conversion therapy practitioners. The Human Rights Watch report says that the Chinese government enacting basic human rights protections for sexual minorities would be a good first step.
And finally, California has become the first state in the U.S. to approve LGBT-inclusive textbooks for use in elementary schools, which covers kindergarten to eighth grade. The school board's adoption of 10 textbooks this week advances the 2011 Fair Education Act, which requires social sciences curriculum in the state to include the contributions of LGBT Americans, people with disabilities, and members of other cultural groups. The board rejected two textbooks that failed to identify the sexual orientation of historical figures. A statement explained that the absence of specific labels regarding sexual orientation creates an adverse reflection because the identity of these individuals is not honored and demeans their contribution to history. Local school districts can choose which of the textbooks to use, and equality activists say that's where the next battles will be waged. The newly approved textbooks also include more information on the farm labor movement and the role Filipinos played in it. Information about the Mexican repatriation program, which illegally deported thousands of Mexican Americans in the 1930s, many of whom were U.S. citizens. More details on African American history, specifically the institution of slavery, and more on the plight of the Native Americans in California's missions. Polly Pagenhart is policy director for Our Family Coalition, one of several advocacy organizations that worked with the board to develop the LGBT-inclusive list of textbooks. It's really important for people to bear in mind, she said, that telling students about what is true is different than advocacy.
That's News Wrap, global queer news with attitude, for the week ending November 18th, 2017. Produced by Steve Pride, written by Greg Gordon, and recorded at the studios of KPFK Los Angeles.
Follow the news in your area and around the world. An informed community is a strong community.
News Wrap from This Way Out is brought to you by you.
Help keep us on the air and in your ears at thiswayout.org, where you can also read the text of this newscast. For This Way Out, I'm Michael LeBeau.
And I'm Anique Lukens.
Hi, this is Greg Louganis.
I'm Margaret Cho.
This is Edmund White.
These This Way Out fans have given their best to the LGBT community. When Giving Tuesday inspires people around the world to give back on November 28th, we'd like to hear from you for the obvious reason and something else. We're planning to honor some local heroes and historic icons when we celebrate our 30th anniversary next April. So who would you include? On Giving Tuesday, November 28th, give back and give a shout out to those who have given so much at thiswayout.org. There's plenty of celebrating going on down under, but the legislating is still to come. This Way Out's Barry McKay reports on the historic victory in Australia.
After 3 months of campaigning by both the yes and no sides, 3 months of door knocking, phone banking and television advertising, 3 months of endless media coverage, 3 months of homophobic slurs on social media and anger from sections of the LGBT community at having the validity of their relationships voted on, the Australian people have finally spoken and the results of the Marriage Equality Postal Survey were released on Wednesday last week. I went down to Prince Alfred Park next to Central Station in Sydney, where about 1,000 LGBTIQ Sydneysiders gathered to hear the results.
And now the official results of the Australian Marriage Law Postal Survey. For the national result, yes responses, 7,817,000.
61.8% of Australians said yes to marriage equality, overwhelmingly putting Australia on the path to having same-sex marriage and becoming the 24th country to do so. 38.6% of respondents in the postal survey voted no. The Marriage Equality Postal Survey was non-compulsory, but still, the survey had an extremely good turnout at 79.5% of people returning their ballot forms. That is more than the recent election in the United States and France, and more than the Brexit poll. As many prominent LGBT campaigners for the Yes campaign hugged each other and danced for joy on stage, John Paul Young burst into song with his 1978 hit, Love Is In The Air. Alex Greenwich, who is one of the leading figures in the Yes campaign and a local state politician in New South Wales, was the first to address the crowd after the song.
Love has had a landslide victory! Congratulations! Australians have come together like never before to say I do to marriage equality and to say I do to fairness and equality for everyone. Nearly two-thirds of Australians said yes. A yes vote was recorded in nearly 90% of electorates across the country. This is because of everybody here and everybody across Australia who stood up not only for their gay and lesbian mates, the LGBTI community, but for Australia's national values of fairness and equality. We will reflect on this day as a day that has truly made our country proud. And we will reflect on this day as a day that has delivered an unequivocal mandate to our federal parliament to get on and get this done.
Many of those who'd gathered to hear the news in Sydney were overwhelmingly ecstatic at the news.
We are so thrilled, and actually, I just got engaged to Stuart. Stuart, show the ring. Yay! So we're so happy, and not only did he say yes, but the country said yes. So what a fantastic result. Everyone's just so excited. It's an incredible day. Incredible. It's a moment in history for all of Australia, gay and straight, and it's just beautiful.
Well, if you go from when I first came out when I was 16 years old, I'm 62 now. This is a momentous day. Good on you, Australia.
How do you feel about the result today?
Ecstatic. It's our 10-year anniversary on a Saturday next year. We've already got the Art Gallery of New South Wales booked for our wedding.
Out of the 150 electorates in Australia, only 17 electorates returned a majority no vote. 12 of these were in Western Sydney. Mostly Labor Party held seats with a very large percentage of people from non-English speaking backgrounds and diverse faith backgrounds. Dr. Liz Allen, Dr. Andrew Hughes and Dr. Jill Shepherd of the Australian National University explain the implications for Australia's political parties.
Of the 150 electorates across Australia, 133 said yes. They supported marriage equality. Let's move forward.
4.9 million people voted no, and that isn't just a minority, that's a movement. This is an issue for the government and for Labor going forward that they can't just ignore that vote of that size.
While it's been an overwhelming win for the Yes campaign, we see two sticking points for the campaign going forward. First is that 4 in 10 voters did vote no, and that's going to be a problem for the government. Also that we see electorates with high rates of migrants voting no, and that's going to be another problem for communicating this legislation.
In Canberra, a jubilant Malcolm Turnbull, who had always supported the Yes case, made an official announcement at Australia's Parliament House.
They have voted overwhelmingly yes for marriage equality. They voted yes for fairness. They voted yes for commitment. They voted yes for love. And now it is up to us, here in the Parliament of Australia, to get on with it. To get on with the job the Australian people have tasked us to do and get this done this year before Christmas. That must be our commitment.
Bill Shorten, the opposition Labor Party leader, spoke in Melbourne to an assembled crowd.
What a fabulous day to be an Australian, because in this survey, the Australian people have declared overwhelmingly Australia is ready for marriage equality. And I just want to make one promise. Today we celebrate. Tomorrow we legislate.
At the official announcement gathering at Parliament House in Canberra, Australia's first openly lesbian senator, Senator Penny Wong, was visibly in tears as the results were announced. She later spoke to the press.
Well, I wanted to start by saying one thing. Thank you, Australia. Thank you for standing up for fairness. Thank you for standing up for equality. Thank you for standing up for gay and lesbian Australians, the LGBTIQ community everywhere. Thank you for standing up for our families. The final comment I want to make is this, and that's to our community, the LGBTIQ community across Australia. You didn't want this process, and it has been really hard for many of you. I know that because I've moved around the country and spoken to many of you. And I hope from this you can take a message of solidarity, of support, of decency from your fellow Australians. Thank you.
Magda Zabanski has been a well-known television comedian in Australia since the 1980s. She came out in 2012 and has publicly supported the Yes campaign. She also spoke at the rally in Sydney.
I'm one very emotional gay, little bit more gay person today. And I know that I stand here in front of you as only one small part of the alphabet that makes us who we are, the LGBTQI plus alphabet. One of my great hopes is that this does not become a case where there are the acceptable gays who are the married ones and the others who are the non-acceptable gays. This is for all of us, no matter what way we want to live our life, it is that we must live as equal people within this country. And now we have voted through one of the last remaining pieces of inequality that exists in the legislation. Now, in the legislation that's coming ahead, we've all heard the rumours about, well, we've all seen, actually, the legislation that they're proposing. And it would actually create a sort of form of segregation for LGBTQI people who wish to marry. Well, I'm saying, as an LGBTQI person, no matter what the result would have been, I would never have treated anyone who voted no with anything less than respect. I would never not serve them. I would never not be funny for them. None of us can live in a bubble where we try to pretend that other people don't exist. We must find ways to reach out our hands across the divide that's been created by this unfortunate survey. And we are so lucky to live in this country. When we think about the other countries, where just for being who we are, we can be killed, bashed, pushed off a tower. And this sends a message that this country does not stand for that sort of behaviour, that this is a civilised country, that this is a secular country that allows religious freedom, and that this is a country that believes in equality and justice, and we've had virtually no leadership in this. We have led ourselves, and so... we can rely on the Australian people to do the bloody right thing.
Ian Thorpe has won the most Olympic gold medals than any Australian for swimming and is considered a national hero. He came out publicly in 2014 and spoke at the rally in Sydney.
Today, amongst all days, I must say I'm proud to be and to call myself an Australian. In modern Australia, it shouldn't matter if you're black, white, grey, or even gay. I want Australia to be a fair and a just place that I have known it to be, not just for myself or for Australians, but to be a beacon for the rest of the world. The Australia that most of us long for is a more equitable place, which represents its citizens and what they stand for. A democracy which doesn't preclude, but celebrates in our diversity. I'd like to thank everybody who voted yes for a fairer and more equitable Australia. The other people that I would really like to thank is our straight brothers and sisters who've worked alongside us to make this happen. Quite simply, without you, we could never have done this. So thank you.
Tanya Plibersek is the deputy leader of the opposition Labor Party and spoke at the rally in Sydney. Her electorate of Sydney holds one of the highest number of LGBT Australians in the country. Her inner city electorate of Sydney had a yes vote of 83.7%, the equal highest in Australia, which was also recorded in the electorate of Melbourne.
I'm particularly talking now to the young people in the crowd because many people have struggled for many decades for equality, but during this last few months, there have been a lot of young people who have come out for the first time. They've told their friends or their family that they're same-sex attracted, and they've got a less than positive response in some cases. I want every single one of those young people to feel today the love and acceptance of the Australian community, and I hope that feeling lasts a lifetime, because it should. Today is for them. It's for the young people who've struggled recently, who've told me how they feel about their parents turning their backs or voting against them. It's for them. The only thing now to do is to say to the senators who are sitting this week in Canberra, when this consensus bill is introduced, back it. Vote for it. Don't delay it. Details, back it, because if the senators back this bill, we can have marriage equality by Christmas.
Members of the ruling Conservative Coalition hard right faction are still hoping to push through stringent religious exemptions to the marriage equality bill, although due to the overwhelmingly positive result, it is now debatable to what extent they will be successful. Even former Prime Minister Tony Abbott, whose electorate of Warringah returned a 75% yes result in favour of marriage equality, had to concede defeat, and on Friday last week even backpedalled, saying that he was the author of such a positive result by suggesting the postal survey be held in the first place. Tony Abbott's sister Christine Forster, who is openly lesbian and a councillor on the City of Sydney, added her comments at the announcements rally there.
They asked the people to have their say, the people have spoken. And now it's up to the politicians to fulfil the responsibilities that they should have been fulfilling 2, 3, 4 years ago, and to get this done. And the last thing I will say is a 75% yes vote in the federal electorate of Warringah.
Australian Parliament resumes on the 27th of November for 2 weeks, and hopefully same-sex marriage will be legislated into law before Christmas. I'm Barry Mackay in Sydney, Australia, for This Way Out. If you'd like to see a short video of the moment of the result being announced in Sydney, please head to thiswayout.org.
Love is in the air, everywhere I look around. Love is in the air, every sight and every sound.
Thanks for tuning in to This Way Out, the international LGBT radio magazine, brought to you by the non-profit Overnight Productions. This week's program material came from Michael Lebeau and Monique Lukens, produced by Steve Pride, and from Barry Mackay. Kylie Minogue and John Paul Young performed some of the music you heard, and Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. This Way Out thanks the Kicking Assets Fund of the Tides Foundation, the Ivana Foundation, the estate of Christopher David Trentum, our contributing affiliate stations, and you, our listener donors, for making this program possible. Join the global online community by supporting your favorite charities on Giving Tuesday, November 28th. Look for This Way Out Radio on Facebook, Twitter, SoundCloud, Stitcher, and Google+. Smile at Overnight Productions on Amazon. Email tworadio@aol.com or write to us at Post Office Box 1065, Los Angeles, California, 90078, USA. For coordinating producer Greg Gordon and the entire This Way Out family, I'm Lucia Chappelle. Thanks for listening online at thiswayout.org and on KDUR Durango, Colorado, Arrow FM Masterton, New Zealand, WFCS New Britain, Connecticut, and more than 200 other stations around the world, including this community radio station. Now, y'all, stay tuned.